Bibles, Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. We are in the heart of what is incredible practical instruction that just tells us in a daily sense. If you remember a few weeks ago, the Bible gives us instruction with what kind of music will benefit us, what kind of music will teach us, will admonish us, and it's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We then see the Bible tells us that whatever we do, we need to do all for the glory of God in His name, and we need to do it heartily. We saw just a few weeks ago this passage of wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands. But what we saw was submission is at the heart of Christianity. Understand that when God gives wives the command to submit to their husbands, it's for the glory of God, and it sets the tone of the home, and it's a great blessing for that as well. This morning, when we see this verse in verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them, I never want you to forget the whole context of Colossians, and I'm convinced the whole context of the Bible is that we glorify, lift up, and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is preeminent in all things. The reason it matters that husbands love their wives is so that we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. When we love our wives, there'll be less friction in our homes. It won't be a perfect home, but it'll be a home that by God's grace, we will have more energy, more focus, less distraction on the things of the kingdom of God. And so when the Bible instructs us, husbands, love your wives. Now let me just be clear before I jump into this. We'll read a broader passage in Colossians. I also want to make sure for those that aren't husbands here, and that would be like the vast majority of you that are not husbands here. So that would be young people, that would be singles, that would be ladies. This passage is amazing. We're going to look at Ephesians 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What we're going to do is, by God's grace, it's not exhaustive. By exhaustive, I mean it's not covering everything. But I've just picked out 10 things that we can learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Lord Jesus Christ has loved the institution He established, His church. And when He was here on earth, it was the first members of that first church were the apostles. How He loved them, how He cared for them. Husbands, this is how we should love our wives. But I want you guys to understand this. Are you a husband? I didn't think so. Unless, you know, something happened secretly that no one's told me about. But you do like somebody? That's so wrong of me. You'll let me know later so I can put her on my prayer list. And so you're not a husband, but I want to tell you this. This message is so important for you, Elijah. Here's why. You want to learn how to love the way Jesus loved, right? And then Jesus said, we as husbands, I'm a husband, I need to love my wife that way. I want you to understand this. It is because of this, I believe this with all my heart, is God made men the head of the home. And if we love our wives like Christ loved the church, it'll trickle down and benefit our homes. I want to tell you this, if husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, it'll impact our homes, and it'll impact our neighborhoods, and it'll impact our cities, and it'll impact our states, and it'll impact our country. I will tell you, the need for each one of us in this room is that we submit. Remember, we looked at that. We looked at 8 things that the Bible instructs every believer to do in submission. That was a few weeks ago. This morning, when we see these 10 things, and then I got a bonus 11, when we see these 10 things that I've just picked from the scriptures, how Christ loved His bride, the church, it applies to everyone. So I don't want you to check out if you're not a husband. I want you to understand this. I want you first to just be amazed at how good the Lord Jesus Christ is. How He loves the right way. How He loves, and He's our example. So I'm just telling you, if you get nothing else from this message, we ought to leave in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. The standard of love is the Lord Jesus Christ. So please don't check out if you're not a husband. But now let me get back to the husbands. I want you to work on this. I've got to work on this. I gave you this handout. Maybe you put it on your refrigerator. And just think how we can better love our wives. I also want to tell you this. We don't love our wives in order to get. We need to love our wives because it'll honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we understand why we're doing it, it'll help us. Our wives aren't always going to respond the way we want, just like we don't always respond the way they want. But when we understand why we do it, and it's not for the response, but I know we have, many of us have wonderful wives, and they are going to respond well. I will tell you this, if you don't know what to do, love. If you don't know what to do, be kind. I don't know where love or kindness is ever forbidden in the Bible. And so let's not do to get. Let's do because it honors the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what you'll find is when we do things God's way, we benefit. If we seek the benefit, many times our spirit won't be right, our heart won't be right, and then we wonder why it doesn't work out so well. But I'll tell you this. God told Hosea, if you don't know this story of Hosea, you need to go back and just read the first three chapters of Hosea. God told Hosea to love his wife. And it's not evident that he ever saw a return of love from her. God told Hosea to marry this woman so that Hosea would be an example in the real world of what Israel had been doing to God through the centuries. And God told Hosea, you love her. And Hosea did. One of the most difficult situations in the Bible. Love your wives because God's commanded us to. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 3. I want to begin with verse 17. And I want to go through verse 23. Those are my bookends of this passage. And we're just going to really focus on verse 19 this morning. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants," or employees, if you will, "obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Now let's look at that verse again in verse 19. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Just in case you were wondering, it is. There's many, I think there's eight Greek words for love. The Bible doesn't use all eight. But this word, this Greek word in Colossians 3:19 is husbands love. It's the agape love. For God so loved, that's the agape love. That's the same word in John 3:16 as here is in Colossians 3:19. It's that sacrificial giving love. Let me just remind you of a few verses. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity." When the Bible, the King James Bible has charity, it really helps you understand that's the agape word. It doesn't always, sometimes it'll translate it love like it is husbands love your wives. But when you see charity in the King James Bible, it's that word agape. It's that sacrificial giving love. But in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And then John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." I will tell you, our great need, when we talk about getting together, when we talk about assembling, when we talk about being a church body, the greatest need that we have is first that we are born again, and a requirement to be a member is that you're born again, but we know that probably every member's not saved because that first church, Judas wasn't. Just because you're a member of a church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You must be born again. But it's, understand this, for us to accomplish the glory of God and to accomplish his purpose and the establishment of his kingdom by reaching souls for the glory of God, we've got to have love. We've got to forbear one another. We've got to love one another. And we have to overcome one another. And so when we see these things this morning, I think it'll help you. These would be characteristics of love that we need within our church, characteristics of love that we need within our homes, and characteristics of love that I'm convinced of this. If our husbands, if just the husbands in here, if we modeled what we talk about this morning, we'll have a better church. We'll be a different church. I'll be a different pastor. I'm preaching this message not out of expertise, but out of just being humbled, and I'm challenged, and I'm excited. I'm almost married 33 years, and I'm not done trying to be a better husband. You know why it matters? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory. The way I treat my wife reflects on how I think about Him. And if we husbands are honest about that, then we don't think too highly of the Lord many times, right? It's a great challenge to us. So how do we love? How do we love our wives? How do we love one another? First thing I want you to see in your notes. Now, you've got notes. These are going to be microscopic here. And so because I had to fit 10 on one slide. But it's sacrifice for them. Would you look at Ephesians 5? It's a parallel passage to Colossians chapter 3. Look at Ephesians 5. It's in your notes. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 29. Ephesians 5, 25 to 29. Let's just get a little bit of a broader perspective of what kind of love we have for our wives. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why does he do that? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Sacrifice for them. And now I want to help you with this. I'm going to try to overlay this. Remember this in Colossians 3:19. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. When we use this term, and I'm using that agape definition, that sacrificial love, where we do things for them that they might not deserve, that we might not want to do, but that we will sacrifice our time, our energy, our own desires for the needs of our wife or the needs of one another, here's what can generally happen if you're not careful. You get a bad attitude about it. And so what happens is, what does a bad attitude lead to? Bitterness. And so I want, with all of these, I don't want us to look like, I want us to sacrifice for them without it feeling like a sacrifice. Does that make sense? I don't want us to go like, oh man, I'm not sacrificing for you. Because if we have that attitude and they don't respond with, you know, I'm words of affirmation. If she doesn't respond with, oh, you are so wonderful, and I'll go on. And, you know, if she doesn't respond the way I want, will I continue to sacrifice for her? Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not moved by anything but the will of the Father. He said, I've come to do the will of my Father. What I speak, he told me to speak. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, oh Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. I want to tell you, husbands, the Bible says that we ought to love our wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible demands, it commands us to sacrificially love our wives and be not bitter against them. So I'm telling you, the way bitterness begins is, and I know this, it's not with my wife, but you guys, I'm not going to repeat the story, but with my own son, just wrong, sin, it's evil. I look back on it and I have such regrets, but I know how it began. It began with negative thoughts. Oh, he was wrong. He was dreadfully wrong in many instances, but I was less mature than he was wrong. You see, it doesn't matter if your wife's wrong. You need to love her. It doesn't matter if your wife doesn't respond. You need to love her, because I will tell you this. By God's grace, your wife isn't your enemy. And the Bible commands us to love our enemies. Let's sacrifice for them, and let's make it a conscious effort. Let's ask ourselves this question. When's the last time I actually sacrificed for my wife? Now, the ultimate sacrifice would be the giving of our lives, and praise the Lord, that's not required very often, but we ought to be ready for that. We ought to prepare mentally for that, that if there's ever an instance that we will stand in the gap between them and harm, but it's still that we ought to sacrifice our lives for them and give to them and love them in such a way. Second thing I want you to see, look at verse 29 in Ephesians 5. It says, For no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So the Bible says that the Lord cherished and nourished his church. Now what I love about this, do you see the definition of the word cherish? Look under that. It's to warm, to keep warm, to foster with tender love and care. It's probably one of the things I still have to work on, and that's warmth, right? It's being warm. Husbands, don't be so robotic about your love. Be warm. Be kind. Be loving. You know, it's really not that difficult. I mean, I will tell you, you know, probably this is just, maybe I've trained her so well that anything I do now is like a bonus. I just emptying the dishwasher. I talk about the dishwasher a lot because I don't do that much. But emptying the dishwasher, you know, and I put a big old sign on it. I empty the dishwasher. Make sure you affirm me. I'll be honest. Here's what happened the other day, you know, so just the two of us, but I make this up in my own mind. This is where bitterness comes, right? So the dishes began to collect and I saw the green light on the dishwasher and I thought, oh, she thinks this is my job all the time now, huh? I ain't empty the dishwasher. Ain't my job. It's just out of the kindness of my heart that I will sacrifice. Okay, just kidding. And so I actually had that attitude. And so I started piling my dishes on the counter. I was going to see how long the dishes. And I thought, we're just going to see this thing. And you know what? Then the Lord, he got on me. He said, you know, she's not thinking that at all. Oh, I think she is. You know? But God has taught me a little wisdom. Don't ask her. but it's, you know what I need to do? She loves when I mean, you guys, you got to understand this. So when I do the dishwasher, there's certain things I don't do with the dishwasher. Okay, now this is just crazy, right? So we got these like plastic bowls, and there's only one way to do plastic bowls, according to my wife. And I'm like, I can never get the plastic bowls right. So what I do is I get the plastic bowls out and I put them in the, whatever you call it, the little, what is it called? The dry what? The dry rack. So I put them in the dry rack because I don't even know what, you know, anyway, I don't know anything about the kitchen. But I started making stuff up. I would say it's as this, I need to be warm to her. My response needs to be warm to her. Man, I want to tell you this. Do you cherish your wife? How do you respond to her? Do you respond to her with an attitude? Do you respond to her with roughness? There have been many seasons in my life where I respond to my wife with roughness. Not with curse words or meanness directly, but it's just like, what? Man, I want to tell you this. It's cherish your wife. Cherish one another. I tell Kevin this all the time. I tell him this because Kevin's in a rougher industry. He's in the landscaping industry, and it can be a rough industry. And sometimes I'm at his work, and I'll go, whoa, you know, that was a little rough. Do you know that? You know, because I'm discipling him, and not only am I going to teach him the Bible, but I'm going to try to teach him a little bit about life, and I'll go, whoa, that was rough. I'll go, Kevin, if you talk to everybody the way you talk to me, everybody will love you that much more. You know, the truth be known, if I talk to my wife the way I talk to you, my wife would be happier. If you talk to your wife and talk to everybody else the way you talk to me, I will tell you, I can't remember the last time someone's been rude to me, mean-spirited to me. You know, we've just got to take examples. And I'm going to tell you this. You should treat your wife better than you treat me. Your wife is more important than I am. Your family's more important than I am, but you will treat me with more respect. You will treat me with more warmness than the ones you love. You know, I'm going to tell you, it's not too difficult, but I will tell you, this is real. Jesus cherishes us. I want to make sure you don't forget that. You know, the world's view of God is that he's cold, he's clammy, he's mean-spirited, and he can't wait to strike out in judgment on you. I think some preachers have caused that view. But I want you to understand this. there's nothing cold and clammy about God. Is God also going to bring judgment? He will, but that's what we're here for, is to warn the world of judgment and let the Holy Spirit take it from there. But I want you to understand this. If your view of God is not that He warmly loves you, you're going to struggle warmly loving others. If you're walking around all the time thinking that God is mad at you, now I'm telling you, we need to repent of our sins and make it right with Him, but I'm telling you, God cherishes me. I need to remember that. And what God says is, hey, Steve, I want you to cherish your wife like I cherish you. I will tell you, what helps me every day is when I remember how much God loves me. If I remember how much He loves me and I just do 1/100th to my wife, it'll be an improvement. I want to ask you with this. Do people in your life feel like you cherish them? Feel like you love them? It's a warmth. You know, we can discount emotions, and I agree with all of the things that are said that we don't want to be led by our emotions, but I want to tell you this. Emotions were created by God. Warmth is very difficult to define, but it is an emotion. Your wives, your friends, our church will know if you really love them. It is a warmth. And again, I'm preaching to myself. I've told you this. If I did among a million things differently, I'm always amazed when people go, I would never change anything. I go, man, I would change a whole bunch, but maybe one of the top things I would do as I raise my children, I would be warmer. Abby, I took her out on a date this past Monday, and she mentioned something, and it kind of encouraged me because I'm words of affirmation. And, you know, you just, I find it. And she said, I've noticed you hug me more. And I've been purposeful about it, right? It's sort of like, I'm just telling you, the last thing I want to do is hug anybody, just to be clear. I'm happy for huggers. I'm absolutely happy for huggers. It's more power to you. It is wonderful. And the Lord Jesus Christ was very physical, right? So if I want to be like Jesus, I mean, I'm super uncomfortable. I just was covering John chapter 13. I'm super uncomfortable with John laying on the breast of Jesus, John laying on the bosom, on the chest of Jesus. If I was Jesus, I'd be like, man, is this guy going to move? But Jesus wasn't that way. He loved John. Nothing weird about that at all. He loved him, and John loved him back. So I want to tell you, I'm learning. I wish I was warmer. And so I want to let you know this. This is okay. This is okay. Men, it's okay if you hug me. And ladies, I'll give you a very appropriate side hug if that's a need. But hug another lady. And so men, I want to tell you this. You know what we ought to do? Our men ought to hug each other more. I know this. This is coming from Mr. No Hugs, right? And our ladies ought to hug each other more. Right? Men with men, ladies with ladies. And I believe that. And you'll help break through this ice. It's become mental with me. But you know what I need to do? I need to be warmer to every man in this room and let you know I love you. Just don't hug me. But it's I'm going to work through that. You've got to understand this. There is a reality to warmth. People are going to know if you're real or not. Do you cherish your wife? You know, many times we treat our wives like our kids. Just leave me alone. Just don't bother me. Just leave me alone. That's not cherishing them. It's not cherishing them. It's when they're home. Sit down with them. Talk with them. Enjoy them. Listen to their stories. I'm telling you, it is, maybe this is, now, just to be clear, I talk like 100 times more than my wife, just to be clear, right? I talk more than anybody in this room, which I wish that wasn't the case. It just doesn't feel very masculine, but it's a reality. But one thing my wife does that is just, and I've got to learn to do this, and I have to learn to be like, look so interested, right? I'll ask her a simple question. Yes or no? Just yes or no? I've learned, I try to frame them. I actually want to have, you know, like number two pencil where she'll just kind of circle yes or no. That would be better. I'll ask her just a yes or no question. Many times I forget the question that I asked as we're over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. And but you know what I need to do? We can joke about that. I need to cherish the fact that she's a woman of details. And I've got to work on that, do I not? So that she doesn't think I'm just putting up with her. I need to cherish it. I will tell you, the Lord's working on me. I realize this. I know that there's no yes or no. There's just no yes or no. And but you know what? I need to learn to love that. That's how God made her. And I need to learn to cherish it, enjoy it, and be warm about it. I need to sacrifice for her. I need to cherish her. And then this one, look at this. Look at verse 29 again. It says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." I want you to look at John 17 under this point of nourish. John 17 is this great prayer that has three sections. Jesus praying just to the Father. Jesus praying just to the Father about the apostles. And then Jesus praying just to the Father about you and I that would believe later. But look at John 17:8. He says, he's talking to the Father, "For I have given unto them," unto the apostles, "the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." I want to tell you the greatest way you can nourish and strengthen your spouse, or nourish and strengthen anyone, is the Word of God. You've got to make Bible talk. You've got to make the kingdom talk. You've got to make the things of the Lord just kind of what happens. I will tell you, and I'm a calendar guy. And so if you have to, schedule time to talk about the Lord. But eventually what your home needs to be is a home that the greatest thing to talk about are the things of the Lord. And so, you know, Deb and I, we go different places, different Bible studies and different things. And so one of the things I love is I get to hear about her Bible study. How'd it go? And then I'll have Bible study. How'd it go? And we get to talk about the things of the Lord. And then we can discuss things. We can discuss, you know, disagreements or questions or challenges within the Word of God. It'll nourish one another. I want to tell you, the average home, husbands and wives never talk about the things of God. You need to make that happen. And husbands, you need to have private time with the Lord, but you need to nourish your wife. If you're getting something from the Bible, you need to share that with your wife. You need to nourish her. You need to encourage her. You need to bless her with your growth in the Lord. Husbands, are you growing in the Lord? Are you benefiting from the Scriptures? And if you're really benefiting, you got to tell somebody, do you not? When you get a eureka in the Bible, and you're like, "Whoa, this is good. Let me tell you what I learned." Share it with your spouse. Nourish her. But I will tell you this, you can't nourish your wife if you're malnourished. Are you feasting at the table? Are you feasting at God's Word? In order to help someone else, you have to be helped and benefited and provided with and be in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, I get this. We are in such a cool technology state. And Clay and I were talking about this. It's real life. I'm going to just share. Clay was just, you know, he's busy. Work's overwhelming to him. And he's a new dad, and it's shockingly overwhelming to the dad. And I told him this. I said, "Well, just so you know, this is the least busy you'll be for the next 25 years. And he's like, "Oh, don't tell me that." And I said, so you better get used to it, and you better figure out how to manage it. So Clay is, man, we just meet, and he's struggling, because the reason I'm using this, because many of you are this. Clay wants to study the Bible, wants to be in God's Word. So we meet on Fridays at 5:30. It's kind of an appointment that forces both of us to get up, and we're going through the Word of God, and I'm teaching him to teach, and we have a wonderful time, and that kind of forces him to, at least on Thursday night, get in the Word of God, right? Because he's going to have Reckoning Day on Friday morning. But here's Clay's reality. It's your reality, too. He's struggling managing all the things in life. He's struggling to say, you know, what I find is I try to get up early. And then he hits snooze. He plans to get up early every day and he hits snooze. And then he feels guilty, and that's not the objective of God. And then he says, well, I'll study the Word of God tonight. And then, you know, he gets home and Josiah's there spitting up on everybody and saying, I can't wait to spit up on you. And so he spends time with Josiah and then, you know, spends time with Deanna. And then before you know it, he's ready to go to La La Land. And so then here's what I told him to do. I said, how long does it take you to get to work? He said, 20 minutes. I said, you know, you can listen to one chapter in the Bible probably 6 or 7 times in those 20 minutes. You know, imagine this. If you listen to one chapter 6 or 7 times, what you want to do is you want to begin to understand it. First, you want to get the big picture. Well, what's this chapter about? Right? And I would suggest that you go in order so you'll know where it was coming from. So you'll get this big picture with the chapter. And then when the second time you listen to it, you're going to want to say, okay, I know what's happening, but why did the Lord give us this? And then this third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. And then what'll be exciting is then you're going to have a bunch of questions too, right? Don't be frustrated with questions. Be excited about questions. Write them down. And then you can use that for your Bible study that night. You can say, I'm not sure what this is about. I'm going to study this tonight. But then all of a sudden, then the rest of the day, you can be meditating on that scripture. See, this is the plan of God. Is that you get it in you, and you meditate on it, and you think on it, and you're just always thinking about the things of God, and all it took was 20 minutes on the way to work. It was time that he had otherwise, and so I just wanted to encourage him, because I know this. Here's what you guys think. I've got to have Bible study. Boom, choom, choom, choom. I have all my resources. Family, leave me alone. It's me and God. Now, that would be great. But I tell you this. Take advantage of the 20 minutes. Take advantage of the 20 minutes because if God nourishes you, you want to nourish your wife. The best way you can nourish your wife is be in the Word of God. Because I'll tell you this, when you want to share some goodness to your wife about the Word of God, if things aren't right with you and you've been mean to her or you've been unkind to her or you really haven't just cared for her, I mean, here's the reality. You know, I remember when we had kids. You know, one of the number one things that would overwhelm my wife? Starts with an L. Laundry. Laundry, right? Laundry. I remember I came home one day from work and she was crying. I go, what's the matter? I thought, you know, because I thought, it's my son. I'll let him have it. And she said, I can't get all the laundry done. And immediately I was like, oh, you can't get the laundry done. But you know what? It's real. Don't discount the laundry. Get the kids to do it. That's really what I'm telling you. Not near old me, right? But my kids, immediately I said, hey, kids, come on in here. I bought them each laundry baskets for the room. This is for the whites, and this is for all other clothes. So we're just going to separate them that simply. And I taught the kids, you're going to do the laundry. If you don't do your laundry, crunchy underwear. Too bad. And I told her, I said, you're not allowed to do their laundry anymore. I said, the only laundry you're allowed to do is mine and yours. And so there was stress for a little bit. And she said, I don't want the kids to have pink clothes. Well, you know, they become manly like Juan and they can wear a pink shirt. And so I didn't care. Husbands, cherish your wife, nourish her, love her, care for her. I want you to look at the fourth one. Pray for them. Look at John 17. I'm going to pick up the pace here. John 17. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the apostles. He says, I pray for them. Let's see how he prays for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. God has given you your wife, for they are thine. If she's a believer, she's the Lord's. You know, basically, how are you treating God's daughter? Right? That's a big deal. And it's verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I came to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they be one as we are one. And you're one with your wife. So many similarities here. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You see, Jesus took ownership for those that God had given him. Do you take ownership for those that God's given you, including your wife? He says this, look at verse 14. Am I right, 14? No, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. See, that's an important role. And the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you pray that God will keep your wife from evil? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. You want them to be set apart unto truth. Thy word is truth. Do you see the importance of the word of God? And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. I want you to just focus on verse 19. I had a lot more to say. We need to pray for our wives, but here's part of our prayer needs to be. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that thou also might be sanctified, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Husbands, you want your wives to be godly, you need to be godly. You need to set yourself apart. Husbands, there's no place for pornography in your family. It's a huge issue with men. No place for pornography in your family. You cannot be sanctified and immersing in that trash, in that garbage. You want your wife to be set apart, then you need to be set apart. God will give you the victory. Just submit to Him. It's not trying harder. It's just yielding yourselves unto righteousness. And God will lead you out. Men will help you. We'll help you here. You need to sanctify yourselves so that you want your wife to be godly. It begins with you. If you aren't godly, how can you expect your wife to be godly? Jesus said, look at this, verse 19, and then I'll finish on this point. He said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, the perfect Holy One, He sanctified Himself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. It's a combination of this, men. Live righteously. Teach the truth. It's that combination that we will love one another. I want you to see this. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is just a great, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Now look at verse 2 here. Lead them. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Men, you need to lead your home. If your wife doesn't come to church, don't beat her up. You love her, you come to church. I'm telling you, you have the authority in your church to make your wife come to church. I'm not sure you want to pull that card. That's between you and the Lord. But I will tell you, men, you obey God. You lead them, and they will follow. You love them, and they will follow. Not always. Yes, you can pull that card, but I'm telling you this, lead them. You need to lead your children. You know one of the most popular statements that I hear today, and I try to be really kind when I hear it. I've not heard any of you say it. People tell me this all the time when I mention their children. They go, well, I'm going to let my children decide what they believe. I go, do you make your kids brush your teeth? Well, yes, I do. Do you make them go to school? I said, I would rather teach them about God, and they must follow me, and have their teeth fall out and them to be completely ignorant of reading, writing, or arithmetic than not know God. You don't have to do it in a mean spirit. I'm going to tell you, lo and behold, I found out, you know, that all my kids didn't always want to come to church when we came to church. And we were at church all the time when you're, you know, we were in a church plant before, and there was a building project, and it was probably 7 days a week we were sitting on concrete doing something. And our kids were with us, because I want to tell you this, take your kids with you. Lead your family. Lead them. That's not leading them in meanness. Leading them in love. You obey, they will follow. This isn't demeaning to women. God designed men to lead. God designed women to follow. Now, ladies, I want to tell you this. You have unbelievable power over your man. Every woman in here, you understand that. We could give Bible example after Bible example after Bible example where men followed their wives, some unto good, and many unto evil. Ladies, you have unbelievable influence, but men, I want to tell you this. If we do what's right, the women will follow. That's not demeaning to women. It's how you were designed. So men, I want to tell you this. Lead your family. Men, if you're going to have devotions, don't put it on the woman. Lead your family. Men, if you're going to be faithful to the Lord, lead your family. Not in meanness. I did say this. I don't know if I would. So maybe I'm happy to have a discussion about this. I don't know if I would put my foot down. I've never had this because my wife has been a believer. But if your wife says, I don't want to go to church, I don't know. But if your kids say, I don't want to go to church, say this, you're going. You could do that with your wife. I'm not sure I'd recommend it. And maybe I'm wrong. But lead your family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? Another thing, as for me and my house, I will love them. I will sacrifice for them. I will cherish them. I will nourish them. I will pray for them. I will lead them. Understand this. I'm dealing with husbands a lot this morning. But young me, I want to tell you this. Every one of these, that should be how you love. Right? You want to love others? Sacrifice for them. You want to love others? Cherish them. You want to love others? Nourish them. You want to love others? Pray for them. You want to love others? Lead them, right? So don't disappear on me. You weren't disappearing on me. I just wanted to pick on you. You were just right in my eyesight. She's like, I'm not sitting there next week. But it is, understand this. You want to honor the Lord? It's about love. Folks, we can do everything right, and if we don't have love, we've missed it all. I'm going to talk one more, and then I'm done. And then I'll finish it next week, and then I'll speak a little bit about children next week, just because I'm looking at your... I'm looking at that stupid clock back there and something's wrong with it. Number six, I want you to see this. It's pursue them. Psalm 23:6. I've told you this story before. It's a grand story. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here's the picture. The picture is this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Remember the picture I told you about this before? What it's talking about is the Lord is pursuing us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you know what the Lord's waiting us to do? Just pull over. It's sort of like a policeman following you, and you don't want to pull over. The Lord is pursuing you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is pursuing you, Randall. And you know he's pursuing you with goodness and mercy. And you know what we do, Randall? Not you, husband of the year, husband of the decade. And so it's all good. I say that. You know, it's all wonderful. Juan's going for second place. So, you know, you don't got it, my friend. No, I'm just kidding. It is. So I love that, right? But you know what the Lord's doing? He's pursuing you. Rachel, he's pursuing you. Rachel, he's pursuing you with goodness and mercy. You'd think God isn't pursuing us with goodness and mercy the way we resist him, right? The way we resist just honoring him. But I want you to understand this. The same way God pursues us with goodness and mercy, we need to pursue our wives with goodness and mercy. I remember when I was dating my wife, I will tell you, I'm not giving of gifts, but she was all I could think about. I would buy her stuff. I mean, I was always thinking about her, leaving notes in her car. You know, just, she still keeps them, right? It's in our closet, right? I look at them, and the truth be known, it would be just good for me if I had a birthday card written before her birthday. Not 2 weeks after and go, hey, happy belated birthday. Because you know this? She's told me this. She goes, you know, all I really want is just a card. That doesn't sound too difficult, does it, Noah? My batting average isn't that great. I justify it because I'm like, well, I'm not giving him gifts. But you know this? I would have done that when I was dating her. Oh, I wrote cards for her. I mean, I wrote notes to her. I mean, I A long story I won't tell you, but you know, I used to go to King's Island and I could win games and I would sell stuffed animals at King's Island. You're not supposed to do that, but I could make just tons of money. So I always had stuffed animals. So I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stuffed animals. And so she went on vacation one week. I filled her entire room except the tunnel. Her entire room with stuffed animals. Why? Because they were free. But it was because I loved her. Doesn't that sound stupid? Oh, well, why did you give her stuffed animals? Well, what else is there to do but just shower her? You know what she saw when she came in that room? Steve's been here. And she knew this. I missed you every day you were gone. Pursue her. Pursue her. Somebody gave me great advice. And for my daughter, Abby, I'm pursuing her again. And I'm pursuing my wife at the same time. I'm dating my wife. I'm dating my daughter. You may not like this. I looked at my daughter the other day. And I said, Abby, I said, if you marry a Muslim, I'll love you. I said, Abby? And she goes, Dad, I've never been interested in Muslims. Well, she's dated a couple Hindus, right? She goes, well, I guess Hinduism is kind of the same. I said, Abby, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you marry Hindu, I'm going to love you. Abby, I'm going to pursue you until I die. I'm not trying to make up for the past. I'm just going to love you because you are still my source of joy. You're the daughter God gave me, and you're the daughter that I enjoy loving. And you know what I need to do? God gave me this woman. She was 19 years old, 6 months out of high school. You know, your brain doesn't completely develop when you're 25. That's why I had to marry her at 19. And you know this? The wife says, to enjoy and to love the wife of my youth. Husbands, are you pursuing your wives? Are you loving them? People will know you love them when you pursue them. It's just a simple concept. Who are you pursuing? I'm just kidding. You know this? Who are you contacting? Who are you pursuing? They'll know you love them. I just told a man the other day, I'm just a church member when it comes to our church, and I can't be in touch and pursue everyone. But there are people that you know this, that pursue you. They pursue you. They contact you. And you feel loved that way. When you pursue others, they'll feel loved. I want you to know this, a final thought. Jesus pursued you. He was persistent, and he pursued you. You want to love like Jesus? Pursue others. Let's pray.